Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live. It's almost the new year. This is Bev Herring, and my handsome husband is recovering from a little of the sinus stuff that goes around in Eastern North Carolina. Anyway, tomorrow night about this time, we're going to be looking 2019 straight in the face. So tonight, let's think about where we might be. Not just tomorrow night, but let's think about where we might be 365 days from tomorrow. Where do we want to be? And I'm not talking about whether you're going to be in a church service again or whatever else, but we're talking about, you know, life's goals and life's achievements and where it is that you're wanting to go and where it is that you're wanting to be by then. Wow. I know that I, for one, am full of anticipation for this new year. But, you know, we want to be obviously full of anticipation and expectation on achieving our goals, but it really hinges on what we decide to do in 2019 as to where we're going to end up at the end of 2019. You know, there's only two ways that we can see what will be happening in an entire year. First is with the natural eyes, and second is with our imagination. The word imagination is defined in the dictionary as the act or power of forming a mental image or something not present in the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. Our imagination is the thing that allows us to see the future before it happens. In other words, it's really, to me, a God-given gift that God gave just mankind, because we were formed in His image and after His likeness. But there are seven keys I want to talk about tonight about things to imagine where we'll be on New Year's Eve, remembering this, that our destiny is in our hands. Number one, imagination is not bad, evil, or unproductive, but neither is it good, blessed, or productive. Our imagination becomes whatever we decide it to be. It's obvious that God created our imagination. Many Christians are talked out of using their imaginations because it's been used in unhealthy ways, you know, like the outside Christian circles. Heresy is really simply truth taken to an extreme. And the enemy has used things like the New Age philosophies and the world mindsets to pervert, really, and prevent believers from really being able to tap into their imaginations and use it the way God wants it to be used, merely by taking scriptural extreme truth to an extreme and making Christians want to discount it. But the best place, and really the only place, that we can really find truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth is in the Word of God. So let's look at it, because in Genesis chapter 1, God used His imagination to make something out of nothing. How many times did He say, and God said, and God said, and God said? He used it 10 times in the first chapter. He spoke things into existence that didn't already exist. And in chapter 1 of Genesis, in verse 26, Scripture says that we were made in His image and after His likeness. And another thing He did, in Genesis 15, verse 5, He told Abraham, to count the stars. He goes, go out and look at all the stars in heaven. And that He said, so shall your descendants be as those stars in heaven. Abraham had to use his imagination in order to be able to see all the stars as descendants in future generations. And He never would have told Abraham to do this if He didn't believe in using your imagination to see things that you can't see yet. So the bottom line is this. Once you read your Bible, in order to do what it says, you're going to need to take what God says in His Word and imagine it. Are you listening? Imagine it manifesting in your life. Now, I realize there are a number of scriptures that talk about vain imaginations. The problem is not using your imagination. It's how we use our imagination, because you can think on wrong things. In Romans 1, verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. If we can focus on God in all things, praising him and thanking him and being in the realization of what he's doing and has done in our lives, then we will not fall for that temptation to get into vain imaginations or evil things. It's only when we open our hearts to things that are not right before him that we invite that sort of evil thought into our lives. In God's word, in translation of Romans 1:21, it says it this way: they knew God but did not praise and thank him for being God. Instead, their thoughts were total nonsense, and their misguided minds were plunged into darkness. Obviously, God knew this was a possibility among his children. But, praise his name, think about this. He provided a way of escape for us. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, I love these, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The key word in this scripture is that, casting down imaginations and every high thing that tries to exalt itself, against the knowledge of God, and we are able to bring those things into captivity by the obedience of Christ. We've got to know what the word says before we can bring it into obedience, though. When the imagination focuses on things that are wrong, that is the problem. So anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that is a scriptural problem being addressed in this verse. It should also be pointed out that our imagination is what we use to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And it certainly is possible to end up in or be carried off in the wrong direction. But it's when we cast down those thoughts in the imaginations and take them captive that we can get on and get up with it. This is another scripture which I love, and it's in 1 Corinthians 10:3. I'm using the New International Version, and it makes us a promise worth manifesting. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. It isn't like God didn't think that this was going to happen to us, and he has made a provision for us. It goes on to say, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The Berean Bible says, no temptation has seized you. You know, there was only one time, I think, when I was a young Christian that I can really, truly remember being seized with the temptation, and I thought, I'm going to do this, and I know it's wrong. I was young in the word and in the way, and I remember the Holy Spirit, praise the name of the Lord, brought this scripture, this 1 Corinthians scripture, to my, about not temptation being able to overtake me, but him providing a way of escape. I don't remember what the temptation was. I just remember bringing that and saying, Lord, I need this right now. And just somehow I didn't do it and it didn't matter. And I just thank the Lord. But you know how good he is to provide us with things like that. Because once we start walking in the Lord, it just becomes easier to be able to cast down those things, because we know that it's going to take you in a place you don't want to be. And I think that truly, as I was meditating and thinking about this, this temptation overtaking you and him knowing that, I got to thinking that there might be somebody who says, well, you know, I've really had a tough time. But what makes it a tough time, and this is where we need to realize this from the beginning, what makes it tough is if you've allowed the temptation and you've yielded to temptation, or you've been thinking about something long enough to let it get a root, it'll be harder to take this and be able to immediately remove it because you've allowed a stronghold to come in. But if you realize, like getting mad at somebody or getting upset with somebody, if you go, I'm going to cut this out right now, and you're going to take that acorn before it becomes an oak tree and get rid of it, it's so much easier to grab that acorn out of the ground while the enemy is still trying to plant it in your mind and get rid of it and not have that stronghold that you have to fight to get rid of. And that's how we take these things and are able to go on in God without as much trouble as a lot of people have. But one final question that resolves this point of any lingering doubts or hesitations. Why would God give man an imagination if it wasn't for good thoughts? The point is, he wouldn't, he couldn't, and he didn't. Number two, imagination allows us to live in faith, or it could allow us to live in fear. You know, both fear and faith flourish through imagination. Fear uses imagination to create that worst case scenario. What if, that we could face on a daily situation when things happen. I love the quote by Mark Twain. It's actually quite insightful. He goes, I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles. Most of them never happened. Think on that. You know, the enemy likes to come in and play the what if game with you. Well, what if, and but the point of it is most of them never happen. So we can't allow fear to run wild in our imagination. We can't be creating images that most likely will never come to pass. We zero in on the word and listen to how many times the scripture says, fear not, do not be fearful, fear not, fear not. You know, we just need to remember that the Lord says, I got it. We can remember Matthew 6:27, this in the Living Bible, and it says, will all your worries add a single moment to your life? If we can see things in that way, we'll just be so much better off. Faith also uses our imagination to see things that are not as though they were. That's how we manifest God's promises in our lives. In Romans 4, verse 17, the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God, even though he didn't yet see the promise. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That is a beautiful illustration and manifestation of faith. And sometimes we have to have that kind of bulldog tenacity that Abraham did to believe that God has the perfect time to bring about what he promised us and said he would do. In Hebrews 11:1, we're so familiar with this. Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to read it from the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, now faith, hallelujah, is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That is such a fabulous definition of faith when you take that Amplified Bible and it just amplifies that entire scripture for us. Faith confirms what we can only see in our imagination, because it hasn't yet been revealed, but we believe God for it. So it's clear the scripture, the value God places on us using our imagination in order to connect with our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What a privilege to be a Christian and have these I mean, promises at our fingertips. And I'm telling you, coming into 2019, let's just determine and purpose in our hearts we're going to grab a hold of these and make them more real than they have ever been before. You know, as we've often taught before, the word rewarder in this, in the Greek, actually means one who pays wages. So it's clear that God does, in fact, place a high value on using our imagination in connection with our faith. Number three, imagination allows us to see things beyond the natural realm. Remember we said you could see things two ways. You can see things in the natural, waiting around for them to happen, or you can see them in your imagination or the spiritual realm. You know, in the midst of assaults of the enemy, we need to be able to look. I mean, we need to be able to look beyond our natural surroundings, or we'd all go crazy, truth be told. I mean, if you can't see with your spiritual, with everything going on, knowing that you're going to have victory, it would be, think of what the unsaved person has to live with. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I really don't. And one of the Bible verses, which just cements it in, excuse me, I mean, it's such a great story because it's really giving us a living example of how God reaches out and helps us to understand faith. It's found in 2 Kings 6, starting about 15. We read about, and Harold loves to tell this story this way, actually we both do, where, you know, Gehazi wakes up one morning and he's on his way out to, you know, pick up Krispy Kreme dough, no, it's in a copy of USA Today for the prophet Elisha. And as he's walking out, in his natural eye, he perceives real trouble. And I'm going to read this scripture starting in 15. It says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth," you know, the Krispy Kreme and all that was the herring version, right? "Had gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered," here we go, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." How many times have we been blindsided by attacks of the enemy? All of a sudden something happens to discourage or disappoint or dissuade us or from doing what we feel like God wants us to do in our lives. You know, I want to challenge everybody for 2019 that when something comes in and we weren't expecting it, that our first response be, "Lord, you're not wringing your hands in heaven, I mean, wondering how this could have happened, because you knew it was going to happen. So if you knew it was going to happen, then I'm expecting that you will reveal unto me how it is that through you I can get out from underneath this through the Word of God." Because in 2 Kings, we read in 6:16, the first thing that the prophet Elijah said is, should also be actually our first response in time of trouble, the "fear not." You know, when fear or worry come at us, it's imperative that we then just kick into that Holy Spirit mode, who should be so real to us anyway, and that our imagination goes, it says, you know, God's got this, peace, comfort, strength, I know I've got it all. Realizing that God will always have the upper hand, but we need to give it to him. In 2 Kings 6:17, Gehazi was allowed to see what was obvious to the prophet Elijah because his mind had been renewed and he knew who his God was. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." You know, how many angels are out there protecting us? You know, we have our own angels, and then we have angels we can call in, and then we have the Word of God, and then we have him, you know, it says, surely, goodness and mercy. If we look behind us, goodness and mercy are following us, right? How much do we have around us that we need to be able to see with our spiritual imagination so that we don't freak out, you know, that something terrible is going to happen, you know? But God has it. So God is doing so much more right now, so much more right now that you can't see, so that he can bring into manifestation the things in 2019 that you can see that would probably blow your mind if he were to just tell it all to you today. So we need to let the Holy Spirit prime our motivation to see beyond our natural eyes. Think of this. Helen Keller, the blind and deaf American educator and author, once said, "Doubts and mistrust are the mere panic of timid," you listening? "Timid imagination, which the steadfast heart will conquer and the large mind transcend." You know, you got to think about this woman. You know, when people are blind, they use their ears. Their ears just tune in to be able to pick up things that they couldn't because they can't see. When you can see and you're deaf, you use your eyes to pick up stuff because your ears can't hear. Think of this woman who was blind and deaf, and how she learned to get along in this world is just almost beyond me. And yet she says doubt and mistrust are the mere panic of timid imagination, which the steadfast heart will conquer and the large mind will transcend. If she can do it, I promise you, God's given what we need to do this. 2 Corinthians 4:16, I'm going to read from the Message Bible, says, "So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's nothing, there's far more here than meets the eye." I love the way he uses that imagery. "There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever." Now that's what I call a great interpretation of those thoughts. Number four, imagination allows us to turn our dreams into realities. Our dreams into realities. Here's seven thought-provoking quotes and one powerful scripture at the end to make us think. I mean, I like getting motivated. Quotes motivate me. I mean, I've been working on my goals and just so motivated, just looking at things that just make me want to think outside of what I've been thinking about and just go for deeper. Edmund Burke, an amazing, amazing man from England. You ought to really read about the life of Edmund Burke. It's astounding how righteous and godly he was. It says, "There is a boundary to men's passions when they act from feelings, but none when they are under the influence of imagination." Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, said, "Live out of your imagination, not your history." That's a good point. Don't think about what happened in the past. Think about where God's going to take you when you can dream beyond where you've been. Muhammad Ali, former heavyweight champion, said, "The man who has no imagination has no wings." And Napoleon Bonaparte, the military leader of France, said, "Imagination rules the world." And he nearly did rule the entire world. Carl Sagan, the noted scientist, said, "Imagination will carry us to worlds that never were. But without it, we go nowhere." I mean, all these men talking about and people talking about imagination. Albert Einstein, the German-born genius, said, "Imagination is more important than knowledge." That being said by one of the most, knowledgeable people around. And Sun Tzu, author of The Art of War, said, "Can you imagine what I would do if I could do all I can?" I'm going to throw in another one. I know I said seven, but it was thought-provoking, and this is hanging on my wall at home, which I really love. It said, "What would you do tomorrow if you knew you couldn't fail?" That gives you something to think about. And then finally, the Word of God gives us this insight from Philippians 4, 6 and 7 in the New Living Translation. "Never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and request while giving thanks. Then God's peace," hallelujah, "which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. Can anybody say hallelujah? Number 5, imagination is how and what you see through your Father's eyes. In Ephesians 1, verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is a prayer Paul is praying for all of us. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That is something to dwell on. Actually, I pray that every day. It's part of my confession. That the eyes of our enlightenment be open and our hearts be flooded with his truth. I use a different translation, but so good, so good. According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for understanding is G1271, and it means the mind as a faculty of understanding, feeling, desire. The mind, in other words, the spirit, way of thinking, feeling, mind, understanding, or imagination. The way we gain more understanding and insight is through using our imagination. And in Ephesians 1:18 in the Living Bible, it says it this way, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I want you to realize that God has been made rich because who are Christ have been given to him. Hallelujah. The NEB says inward eyes seen. Jerusalem Bible says eyes of the mind. All of it really leading to me into our imagination. So how do we see something of the future? It's through our imagination. And that imagination can be used for good or evil, depending on whose voice we're listening to. Genesis 3, verse 5 in the New Living Translation says, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. He's talking about the fruit. And it says, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil has not changed. It's still the same, except for one major thing. Eve's perception of that tree changed by the words that came out of the enemy's mouth, the devil speaking to her. His words provoked her into an evil imagination. The world has its own interpretation of life, and it's described in 1 John 2:16. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. You know, when Eve entered the Garden of Eden, or when sin entered the Garden of Eden, let me put it that way, with Adam and Eve, it allowed their imagination to see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in an entirely different view than God had said about it. And the thought suggested by the enemy fed an evil imagination, changing the view of that particular tree. Before, it was just another tree, then they knew to just stay away from it. But the moral of the story really, and when you think about it, when you really think about it, and you read this scripture in 1 John 2:16, Eve suddenly saw that vision of the fruit in a whole different way. And all of a sudden, it looked like it was good. It looked like it could make her wise. So the lust of the eyes and the pride of life got involved without her realizing she was being tempted of the devil. But these thoughts, you know, that the enemy wants to put in our minds, the moral of the story should be this. Don't allow other people to use your imagination to change your focus away from God when God is the one who's going to lead you in the right way. In Acts 26:18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. This is what he did for us, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Hallelujah, and praise his name. Number 6, right thinking and rich speaking will expand our imagination. In Hebrews 11:1, we already read it earlier in the Amplified Bible, but it's so powerful. I want to just cover it really quickly. About now faith, it says, is the assurance. What is assurance? Assurance means it's done. The confirmation, absolutely. The title deed, I'm giving you the deed of the things that we hope for. Meaning when we base stuff on the Word of God, You know, we're going to get it if we so much as realize that we have been assured through faith. We have that confirmation. We have a title deed. It's the things that we may not see it yet, but if God said it in His Word, there is absolutely no power on earth that can keep that from coming to pass if we believe it will come. Faith perceiving as real fact what is yet revealed to the senses. Boy, that's strong. I mean, if we can get a hold of that. You know, I love this quote, and I have this in my confessions too, to remind me that we are not limited by the natural. We are limited by what we are capable of believing God for. So we can think beyond our imagination, but the great news is that we can never really think beyond His. His is even bigger than ours. Because in 1 Corinthians 2:9, in the New Living Translation, it says, that is what the Scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Think about that as we approach 2009. The Living Bible Translation says it this way. This is what was meant by the Scriptures which say, no mere man can ever have seen, heard, or even imagine what wonderful thing God has ready for those who love Him. And everybody, wow, you know Ephesians 3:20, we could really get crazy with this one, but I'll read it from the New International. It says, now to Him who is able immeasurably, to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work with us, within us, what if we allowed Him to do that the way it should be? And then Isaiah 55:8, New Living Translation. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. But He's trying to bring us up there. How much are we helping Him bring us up there? Ephesians 4, verse 23 in the New King James says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's trying. He's working. We just need to cooperate with Him. 1 Timothy 4:15. Boy, look at, there's scripture after scripture. In the New King James Version says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Imagination is really a part of meditation. We should meditate on the Word and just let it take hold and start bringing fruit into our lives, like it says in number 7. 7 ways to imagine what your life will be like at the end of 2019. First, confess positive, rich thoughts every day. You can start by listening to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. Create your confession on where you want to go and what you want to do and be based on the Word of God. Second, wake up with a get up and go spirit. When the alarm goes off, decide to get up excited. Praise God for the very special gift of another day He's given you. And when you walk in the bathroom, look in that mirror and go, good morning, child of God. This is going to be a great day. That's a great way to start. Third, listen to whatever encourages, exhorts, and edifies you. You know, it might be music for some people, it might be preaching for others, but get that ready and get it ready to go. Sometimes we listen to the music while we're getting, you know, like this joy that I have and things like those that we've told you about. And we wouldn't even have to drive to work. We could fly. Anyway, fourth, lay out the music or the ministry teachings that you want to listen to for the next morning, the night before you go to bed, so you're not searching for it. And start your morning drive with something motivating. You know, if you wake up and you start listening to stuff that's the news, you might as well forget it. You're not starting out on the right foot, in my opinion, and if you go to bed with that, you're even worse off, because then you toss and turn about everybody's problems all night. Ooh. Fifth, encourage your family members just as you are being encouraged. You know, you can really help your kids to know how to wake up in the morning and get things started. And even your coworkers. I'm just telling you, the pure and the positive from the Word of God. Six, follow a definite reading plan. Understand and think about what it is you're going to be reading for the year. I mean, this is the time to get a brand new fresh start on what you're going to read and what you're going to think about and put timetables down. You know, you're going to be reading a book. I mean, even if you're just reading along on something positive and you only read one a month, that's still some good positive thing that you're putting in your mind. But plan it, because if you don't have a definite plan, it's not going to happen. And seventh, purpose in your heart to expand your mental abilities and increase your communication skills by adding maybe a new word to your vocabulary every day. Or take something out of the word and commit it to memory every day. Then let me share this one verse with you. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, this is in the New King James Version. It says, "While we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And we're building that eternal stuff within us. And hey, 2019 is going to look a whole lot brighter than even if you had a great 2018. So, excuse me. So what's left? We need to take our imaginations and get them ready to get into 2019 and have the best year that we have ever had in our entire lives. We know more than we've ever known. We expect more than we've ever expected. We have the facility that we've done. All the work we've done in 2018 is built for this moment to start 2019 and make it happen. Hallelujah. So, if you have been blessed by the, I'm not good at this, my husband does all this, you've been blessed by the broadcast, you know, and you want to give, hey, that's up to you, between you and the Lord. And everybody gets blessed that way. But until when we're going to get back together, now it's going to be 8:30 tomorrow morning live, Rich Thoughts for Breakfast, don't forget it. Or the playback, that'll be done all day. But until we meet again, hopefully Harold will be with us tomorrow on Rich Thoughts for Breakfast, but we'll see how he's feeling and how he's talking. Anyway, we hope he would say happy trails, and I'm going to say keep thinking those rich thoughts. We do love you. We appreciate you, and we're so glad that you tune in with us every Sunday night, and we'll see you later.